This is the Dean Show.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. Thank you for tuning in to the Dean Show. Is your boss driving you crazy? Are you just living from paycheck to paycheck, party to party, and everything is just getting tiring, it's getting played out, and you're asking yourself, what's this all about? What's the purpose? Many people don't reflect on why am I here? You're born to die, and then what do you got in between? It's a big drama. Some days are good, some days are bad. Some days you're sick, some days you're sad. So we're going to, on this episode of the Dean Show, answer that crucial question that I'm glad you're thinking about. What's the purpose? What's it all about? Life, here on the Dean Show with my next guest, Imam John. We'll be right back.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean.
This is the Dean Show.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Peace, blessings, and mercy of the Almighty God be upon you.
Thank you for joining us. Imam John Yahya, named after John the Baptist. Uh-huh. In Arabic, Yahya.
Yes.
You accepted this way of life that provides all the answers to life, purpose, why you've been here. And I opened up the show with these facts that some people, they're having, like most of us, it's a struggle. Mm-hmm. In and of itself, life.
Right.
And the boss is driving him or her crazy. He's mm-hmm. become a slave to an individual mm-hmm. and to the paycheck and to materialism. And then the person wakes up one day and they're like, man, I'm not happy. There's got to be more. They're finally reflecting. All the friends are gone. They're by themselves. Might have had a loved one just pass. His wife left him after 30 years. His girlfriend that he lived for, he was a slave to her. She was a slave to him. They've broken off. Maybe he's gotten everything.
Right.
So different circumstances, different situations. One got all the money, he's still not happy. The other one lost everything, and they're just going in a big circle wondering now. They tune in and they want to know, what do these people have to say? Maybe they got the answers. What's the purpose of life?
Right.
What's it all about?
You see, Brother Eddie, the reality of life that we want to believe is that money, fame, power, status is going to make you happy. Well, the statistics show that the actors and athletes and so on and so forth, that even doctors, engineers, and very wealthy people oftentimes are some of the most depressed people, filled with anxiety. Their life is not fulfilling. They have a lot of things that they're not able to deal with. And that is as simply as you said it. In their life, they feel themselves subject or devoted to worldly things, to material things. And as human beings, brother, we have a creator as all things on the universe, but as human beings, we have this awareness of self, of morality, of right, of wrong, of the impact of actions, of what's good for the world, what's bad for the world. It's something built in. It's an innate knowledge. So in the Holy Quran, we were told in a verse in the end of Surah Dhariyat, where he says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ.
Now someone's like, okay, you're quoting something. I can't understand what
yes.
you're saying.
Yeah.
He said, who's he?
Mm-hmm.
Please tell
Very
us
good.
For the...
Very good. So the Holy Quran is the final revelation of God to mankind. And in this revelation, it is telling all about the relationship between God and humans, and then how humans should understand in the light of God and His will, the relationship amongst themselves, so that they could properly arrange their affairs and deal with each other in peace to attain this understanding. So in that verse that we recited, and we prefer to recite a verse of the Quran, at least first in Arabic, to reference to everyone that it is preserved in the original language it was revealed, which is something that is not the luxury of any other previous revelation. You know, I think people's time has changed, people's different versions and so forth and so on. So the Quran is a very special book. So the verse says to us that God says, I merely created human beings for the purpose of serving me. Now somebody might say, well, that's just, you know, God is just seems to be full of himself. Well, why not? He's the creator of the universe. What he's saying is that he is this all-powerful, all-knowing source of everything. He's the absolute truth. And out of all of his creations, he has preferred and given the precedence to mankind that they know the reality that they're living in. They know right and wrong. They have this creative intellectualism and this ability to make the world around them and to build the world around them. So he has given us this innate, inherent knowledge. So he says, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. He created the human being and then he inspired all human beings what is beneficial to their soul and what is good for them and that which will harm them and corrupt them. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. It is a fact, true success. True success, and success is what makes you happy. When you're truly successful, then you're happy. And that is in purifying that soul. That is in taking care and nurturing that soul with spiritual food and remembrance of God. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. And the fact is that lost and astray is the one who has corrupted their soul.
Now, I don't mean to cut you off, but someone says, look, you know, I've been down that route. I used to be a Christian. Bar Aram, for instance, the Bible scholar. You know who Bar Aram is?
No, I sure don't.
Okay, he's a great Bible scholar of today's age, born-again Christian, and he was, look, devout. But then, for instance, many people like him, they dwell deep into their religion, their roots, and they said, this is man-made. This has contradictions in it. This can't be from God. Mm-hmm. So they put all religions, everything in the same boat and say, look, this is all man-made mumbo-jumbo. So now, yeah, you're bringing me back to this religion thing. What do you got to say? And they're thinking that, you know what, Islam is just another opinion. It's just, you know, another man-made religion. Why should I follow this?
Right, brother. See, the difference between... Of course, we have to clarify, Islam did not start in Arabia with the Prophet Muhammad. It was finalized at that point. Islam was being revealed throughout history all over the world to many, many prophets, thousands of prophets, for mankind to have some knowledge. But one of the facts of previous prophethood was that God would reveal a message, and he would test them by saying, this message and its law and its teachings, it's your responsibility to live it and preserve its meaning in your lives, right? Because there might be a new prophet, there will be a new prophet that will come and clarify if people did go astray. Well, he testified that the Prophet Muhammad was going to be his final messenger. And so he preserved that message that he came with, which is good for all peoples and all times and all places. So most people are judging Islam through the lens of a Judeo-Christian experience, and that is not a fair, objective judgment. Yes, it's the same God that revealed those scriptures to those prophets previously, but the human being's corruption cannot erase or remove or distort the actual texts. Yes, they can interpret them in their own corrupt ways, but the good thing is we have a very tied-in scholarship to it that has a general orthodoxy and a general understanding, which is very rich and very flexible, that is telling us, you know, the understanding as it was passed down through the generations. So Islam, if you take a fair shot at it, you will see that the purpose of life is in getting to know your Creator. How can you serve someone you don't know? Like if you were walking down the street, imagine, you're walking down the street and some person just walks up to you out of nowhere and says, hey, can you do this and that for me? Now, of course, as a person of very strong faith and mercy, compassion, and generosity, you're going to try to do what you can to help them. But most people are on that level. What are they going to, who are you? What are you talking about, right? But if their close friend or their mother or their father or their brother or their sister came to them and asked them, can you do this for me? They have this knowledge of that person. They have this closeness. They have this awareness of them in this close, intimate way. And it makes them feel much more obligated to want to serve them and their request. So similarly is the case if you know God and you've come to know Him through an authentic revelation that has its proofs. You know, the Quran is different from the previous scripture in that obviously there is no contradiction in it. There is no verse that says this and then a later verse that says, no, that's not the case. This is. And there's a very compatible reality between modern science and the verses that talk about the reality of creation in the Quran. So there's so much about the life of the Prophet Muhammad, the Holy Quran that was revealed to him, that an objective researcher, when they look into it, and we find so many people, we find many great scientists, people of intellect, people of, you know, what was it the other day, Tony Blair's sister-in-law embraced Islam. He was the Prime Minister of England. Islam is being embraced by people who have this desire to seek knowledge and try to know the truth. Not just people who are looking for a philosophical way. With all due respect to other religions, most people that convert to Buddhism or Hinduism or something, you know, they're just looking for some philosophical self-help system of life or whatever. Or they're in some mystical journey. But whereas Islam, you usually find those that come to Islam, they're really seeking the knowledge. They're really wanting to know who is God so that I can really serve Him. I feel like I can't serve Him whenever I look at the scripture and it doesn't make sense.
It's ambiguous.
Yeah.
Islam is clear.
Yeah,
clear. We're going to be right back with more lucid, clear explanations of what the Creator wants from us, what the purpose is here on The Dean Show.
Okay, you've got your dream home and you've got your dream car, but you're going to get old and things are going to happen to you in your life. And then what have you got? At the end of the day, it's an empty dream that has no real foundation. We are going to die and we're going to meet our Lord and He is going to judge us.
It becomes an obligation for each single human being to find out what the Quran is. Islam is telling us to stay away from things which are bad for your person and bad for the society.
Back here on The Dean Show with Imam Yahya. You came from a Catholic background, born, bred, and raised in America. You were searching for purpose of life. You went from Catholicism to born-again Christian, and then you stumbled upon Islam, and you were using your mind. You were taking an analytical, scientific approach.
That's the way we got to go.
That's the way we got to go.
Yeah.
So you weren't looking to be an Arab. You weren't looking to get, you know, into some freak show or something. Mm-hmm. You were looking for the truth.
Yeah.
And you found it. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Well, you've memorized this book, the verbatim word of God. The Quran is one of the miracles that are tangible, that people mm-hmm. can investigate, look at, to see the scientific proofs that you mentioned, prophecies, authenticity. It's all in this Quran.
Yes.
Now, my next question is, the person lived 30 years serving their boss. They just got fired. Now we got their attention. They might get another job. They might start becoming a slave to somebody else,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, the person who just broke up with Susie, Mikey, and they're listening to the country music and they're getting some solace because that's all the country music. Yeah. I lost my yeah. dog, my house. Yeah. But now, why is it so important that you really take the matter seriously and you don't just drift off again and you start going like a dog chasing its tail? You know, you go around life in circles. Now you just get another relationship and then you live for the weekends and then you take her out, you take, you know, let him take you out. And then again, you're just, you know, living according to your lusts and desires, accumulating wealth. And then again, it's the same thing. Then you die and you didn't live your true purpose in life the way the Creator wanted you to live. Why is this so important? While we have their intention, they were flickering through and they tuned into The Dean Show, or a friend said, you got to watch this show. They talk about reality, truth. Why is this so important?
You see, brother, when we look at people's lives and we look at the purpose of life, we see that people are engulfed in a material. A lot of people, they have the spiritual and the a reality of what might happen after I die, it seems far away. And it makes sense because even in the Arabic, it calls the afterlife and what we're facing eventually is akhirah, which means far, right? Dunya means worldly, means close, dunu, something close to you, something you can touch. So really what a person needs to weigh out is human beings are obviously not animals like others. We obviously are superior to monkeys and we obviously aren't monkeys. When we look at this studio we're sitting in, try to do whatever you can with any chimpanzee and develop some sort of ability to do what we're doing right now. At least have a conversation in the first place. So we are clearly different and special. So somebody needs to think about, why am I different? Why do I have these abilities that no other creature has the abilities that we have? And then they need to look at creation itself. Is creation some haphazard thing that just popped up out of nowhere? Or is it a bunch of very systematic, structured systems that are functioning all around? And the fact of how our body digests food and how the brain works and how the blood is distributing nutrients and getting rid of wastes and all of the different things that are happening right now, the way our eyes are taking that light, bouncing it, making everything, how all of that is so very deep and complex. The first thing we need to come to is, how did it get so complex and clearly creatively designed? Not haphazardly blown up and luckily everything on planet Earth just became very structured for all this life and all of this intelligence and so forth. So when we look at that, then we look at the history of the world. What is about God, what is the most clear part of history? It's called prophethood. Prophets came with miracles throughout history. They did things that blew everybody's mind and caused them all to become devout believers in what those prophets were teaching. Then what those prophets taught, even in our modern world, you know, you have this argument right now. Should we have the Ten Commandments in the court or not? Of course we should have them in there. Well, they're saying, well, because that's religion. Well, the whole society's laws are built on religion's laws that came out long time ago. And so then what's interesting is those same people, if you go in this argument with them that are struggling with God and all of this, they will admit that they think that humans made these commandments and that therefore are benefit, right? So the fact is that they are not made by humans because they come from these prophets who did these miracles, who represent God's message to mankind. And they came and they established this law and we're all living, don't steal, don't kill. It's not, of course, now society wants to follow its desires. Some people are fornicating. But deep down, if you ask somebody, if your wife is with someone else, if your mom slept with someone else besides your father, is that okay with you? They will say no. They know that that's wrong, right? So we have a society that has all of it right in front of their eyes. The question is, are we going to seek for the deeper purpose? Or are we just going to try to be like other animals? Clearly, we're not like them. So we need to actualize, where is the truth about all this intelligent design that we live amongst? What is the truth about what we're doing here on Earth? The fact is, this revelation has said over and over, some people bring the argument, they say, well, if you say there's a God, well, then why is there, you know, earthquakes and disasters and people born with diseases? And,
yes.
Well, the fact is, no religion, no people that are attaching themselves to prophethood in some way, whether it be a perfect message that was purified and preserved, as Islam is a proven fact to be, or as other ones, which they even admit amongst their scholarship, that there's been some human interest in writing and developing of dogmas and ideas. All of them are in agreement that life is a test and that life is not perfect and life is not heaven. We are not living in paradise. So we should not expect there to be a paradise. We're living in a test to prove, are we attached to the Creator? Is our ultimate devotion to the Creator and in recognizing that I am grateful to be created. I am loyal to the one that gave me my life. I want to spread the good that He did in giving me my life. He gave me my life. That's very good. He gave me the ability to hear and to see, and all of the fruits and vegetables and oxygen that I breathe are just facilitated for me in the world around me. It's so much of a blessing that He has surrounded around me. So am I going to be grateful? Am I going to yearn and seek a relationship with that Creator through an objective research, looking in my heart, looking in scriptures, looking at history of scripture, being objective, removing myself from the idea that my culture and my family and our society's beliefs and the way we must just stick. We're not on the day of judgment going to be judged by our passport nationality. We're going to be judged. And I'm talking to Muslims too. There's Muslims that think they should be Muslim because their parents were Muslim. That does not make Islam the right faith. The religion that you choose should be based upon proofs and evidences.
Proofs and evidences.
Within the scripture, the text, the one who brought it, what it teaches, in your heart, what's right and wrong, what makes sense. When you put all that together, then you should submit your will to what you know is going to affect you after you die. Because, at least within the Judeo-Christian, we do believe that God will judge people because we're responsible for our lives. And so we have a responsibility over doing the right thing. And when we do, you know, there's so many people out there that did evil, bro. They did murder, corruption, stealing, cheating, and never were they accounted for any of that. They just went through the life doing all that. Should they just go straight to heaven where, with all the people who led a good, decent life and kindness and love and compassion towards others? Or should they be accounted for what, should they be purified for what they knew they were doing wrong and they did not get accounted in this life? Similarly, there's people that went out there and spread goodness and kindness and acts of greatness to people, yet they were never given any such reward for that. You know, we as people believe in rewards. We give out Nobel Prizes and then we have jails. So this is, we all, what's been built in the system of recognizing good and embracing that and encouraging that and then rebuking and punishing evil and bad and corruption. So that's something built into us. It is clearly part of a bigger design of being either God's people, who are a people of goodness, of compassion, of mercy, of a discipline that says, you know what, I'm a creative person like the Creator, and I'm seeking to follow in His light of goodness and spreading the well-being for creation, okay? And I'm not a person of destructive, evil, corruptive ways, which is opposite and antithesis to a godly life.
We're going to take another break, and we'll be right back with more on the purpose of life, here on The Deen Show.
You think these things are going to bring you happiness? You know why you keep going back to the club, and you keep going back to these desires? Because you never find satisfaction. It's going to end up causing you, if it hasn't already, a lot of pain. You think you're happy? You're kidding yourself. You really are. What we are offering in Islam, what we have found in Islam for ourselves, is a means by which our hearts are at peace. They're at rest. They're not discontent. We are pleased with what we have.
Back here on The Deen Show, we're talking about purpose. Is it meant for the purpose of life to be something nebulous, that now everyone has their opinion? You ask someone and so unclear, and the person gets bewildered, and they're like, either A, why are you asking me? B, I never thought about it. C, oh, well, it's to get a big house on the prairie, mm-hmm. raise a family, it's to be good to people. The other one's saying this, the other one's saying that. It's like multiple choice. No one really can answer it lucidly like you did, and we're going to close out, we're almost out of time, with what the Creator is saying. But is it meant to be something that's nebulous, unclear, just like ambiguous?
When we're going back to the fact of history, this is a fact of history. This is, you know, some people want to say Moses and what he did, Jesus and what he did, Muhammad and what, that's all, so you just wrote that, those are history. Okay, the same people want to believe in Alexander the Great and Stalin and all of those.
They're taking someone as role models.
Yeah. At least they're believing in some part of major impacting history whenever it suits whatever they've decided to believe for whatever worldly desires and interests that they have. So the fact is, prophethood is a historical reality. God sent prophets. Prophets did miracles. Not like magic tricks, but like seas parting, blind and lepers being healed by touch. Moon splitting.
Did they come with different religions or one way of life?
It's the same message. The problem is,
did any of them call people to worship themselves, saints, idols, or Jesus?
See, that's the thing, is that we have to, in our research, say, like, for example, with all due respect to all of our brothers and sisters in Christianity, the fact is that if you look at the history of Christianity or Judaism or Buddhism or Hinduism, you will see the development of major dogmatic beliefs over time and human beings establishing how we should find, you know, like, for example, with all due respect, because I have many dear friends and family that are Christian people, and they're very good people, no doubt about it. The question is what you're basing your whole eternity on, is that something that stands up to the test of objective research and analysis? Did Jesus Christ say, "Worship me, I came to die for your sins"? Did he? So that's a question that people need to ask themselves. Well, when you read the Bible, he's worshiping God himself. He fell on his face and prayed. He went and fasted for 40 days. Why is God fasting if he's God? And so forth, right? So he's praying to God. He's fasting for the sake of God. He's telling everybody, "I have no ability or powers of my own. Only God is supporting me and giving me this this support." So they say that in the Bible, that when Jesus knew that these Greeks and the Jewish rabbis are coming after him, that he went and prayed and he said, "Oh Lord, pass this cup before me." All of the commentators say this means, "Don't let these people get me." Well, if he understood, because obviously if he's God or Son of God, he would know his purpose. I mean, obviously he wouldn't be in the dark as to his purpose in life. Well, he should know. He is saying, "Don't let these people come kill me," meaning, "I don't want to be killed." Well, if then the big hitter comes when he says a certain prayer when he's on the cross. It is, they have narrated that he said, "Oh Lord, why have you forsaken me?" So if his whole purpose is to die for the sins of man, that's what he wants to do out of his own free will, because that's his gift to the world, to die for their sins. Why is he saying, "Oh Lord," if he's the Lord? Why, who is he talking to?
These are concoctions by human beings. Uh-huh. God never taught, or the messengers never brought such ideas. Mm. What you're saying,
when we're reading the scripture, we see some quite totally contradictory things. So that dogma, where did it come from? It came in a place called Nicaea in Turkey 3 centuries after Jesus. Mm-hmm. Clearly people got confused and so forth, and then some power play from the new Byzantium Empire with the new Greek ruler, Constantine, who embraced Christianity. He wanted to impose what they've understood over there against what many, if you just look about the story, the history of the Ebionites. Ebionites are a historical people that lived in the Palestine region, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem, and in the surrounding areas of Syria and Jordan, and they always believed that Jesus was a prophet, and that he was just the Messiah who was a special gift sent to purify the children of Israel from their corruption, mm-hmm. and so forth. Those people were killed whenever it was established that you have to believe Jesus is God, Son of God, Trinity, died for your sins. This is the belief we all must accept. Millions of people got killed that didn't want to accept that were saying, "I still believe in Jesus." So political power plays established. So we're being emotionally attached to something. If we look at its history, really, it's not just this love of somebody who died for your sins. It was a forcing of a political agenda upon establishing this belief on people.
We are all out of time. Tell us now. I apologize. The time is so short, and these episodes go by so quick. So tell us now, just in the last minute that we have, you said in the original, it's been preserved, tamper-free, tamper-proof. وَمَا خَلَطُ الْجِنَّ وَإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. You defined it. I have not. Go ahead, take it from here.
We were created.
What does that mean?
We were created.
When you said to serve God, to worship God, what does that mean in the last minute?
We were created with a very beautiful blessing that is intellectual, creative, spiritual awareness. So we are aware of right and wrong, and we're aware of all these realities around us and how to deal with them. So what we should do is use our brains and our hearts to seek God, to come to know him, to have a relationship with him. And we must use those two tools. And if when somebody comes and says, "Okay, the main thing about God is this," and then you say, "Well, that doesn't make sense," you're saying that God, in the one thing that he's blessed you with, intellectual ability, he chose to make his reality something that is not even graspable. Of course, God is great and unimaginable and beyond our thought, but he's one, and he's a creator that's loving and compassionate, and he's not many, he's not, there's no doubt about him and his nature amongst the believers. It should not be. So we look to Revelation for those answers.
Last closing comments and suggestions. I usually talk to people, and I say, "Have you ever asked for guidance?" Many people, again, get bewildered, stunned, shocked. They're like, "No." So should that be a start after the show that they ask and won't, if they ask, God Almighty will facilitate a way?
That, you know, that is the whole purpose of life, to search for the truth.
To ask God?
Ask God, pray to him.
Guide me, what's my purpose?
Yeah.
Do they pray to Muhammad or Jesus, the sun or the moon? Who are you talking about now when you say...
We should never pray to anything other than the creator of
the universe.
Just
the creator.
That's it.
So how can they say, if they don't want to say Allah, for instance, or what can they say? Oh, the one who created me, give him something.
What you pray to whatever, you know, Allah is an Arabic word that means the God, the worshipped entity. We have God, we have Dios, we have... Khuda, we have many words.
As long as you
world.
Don't put a mental picture?
As long as you know that's the creator of the universe and he is above and beyond anything that your little human mind can grasp. But his nature is very clear. He's one, he is the transcendental permeating force of control and power and lordship over this universe. Once we recognize that and we serve that, that is what Jesus was worshiping. That is what he was teaching. Mm-hmm. That was his message. Moses, Abraham, Noah, all the same thing. All the same message, all of the same reality.
If people want to get a hold of you, you have a website or you have a...
I don't have my own website.
Okay, we'll have some set up, your biography on thedeanshow.com. Maybe we can add that there. Yeah. We got to go. Thank you very much. May God Almighty, the Creator, reward you for being with us and helping to explain purpose mm-hmm. of life. Thank you. And that was it. Purpose, reflect, think about it. You live, you die in between, a lot of drama, and it's a test of life. Pass the test of life, and God Almighty has the ultimate reward. It's more commodious than any flat villa, luxury palace. It's Jannah, paradise, and you got to work hard for it. Plant seeds of goodness, because good breeds good. And when you do good, you feel good, and it's all built on that pure monotheism. So ask the Creator for guidance, and then you shall receive. But if you don't ask, how are you going to receive? And you give us a call, 1-800-662-ISLAM, to pick up the verbatim Word of God, the Quran, or to ask any questions that you have, even criticism. Give us a call. Give us a call. Don't forget to also pick up the new Dunya Tadeen. We'll see you next time. God willing, peace be with you.